sin in body or in spirit. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, taking time for silence and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I have catechism.
I have confession.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts, the second chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and all had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 23 responsively with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy.
The second reading is from 1 Peter, the second chapter. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate, opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." But Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. So there's a poster that used to hang on the wall at St. Paul Lutheran in North Robinson. It did until, about 8:40 this morning. I told them I'm really happy that, you know, they're not a big cathedral or something, because if I went to a big cathedral and stole priceless art off the walls, I'd probably get arrested and they would fire me. But this one I stole from the wall at St. Paul. And at the top here it says, "And he shall be called." And at the bottom it says, "Jesus Christ." And here, thank you, Andrew. You'll give the rest of the sermon, buddy? No. Fine, I guess I'll do it. And in the middle, if I counted correctly, and I probably didn't, there are 53 names in here that describe who Jesus Christ is in Scripture. So there's Advocate and Lamb of God, there's Master and there's Bread of Life, there's Teacher and there's Chief Cornerstone, there's the Good Shepherd. And don't worry, I'm not going to read the rest of these for you today. As Christians and as churches and as denominations, our faith in Jesus, it is rooted in lists like this one, right? This is who Jesus is. That's why we hang it on walls, to have the pastor steal it. This is our Jesus. It's who he is. But lists like this, I think, have a downside. Because when you look at all of these things, who Jesus is. It would take me about 3 minutes to read it all to you. Okay, maybe not that many. But it would take a while, and you would get bored. They have a downside. They cause us to wonder, if Jesus is all of the things on this list, well, then what is there for me to do? Jesus already did all the things. Jesus is all the things. What's there for me to do? And I have to say, I kind of agree. I'm probably not the resurrection and the life, but I could be Sean the Almighty. The whole thing was a setup for that joke. Just kidding. It'll come back. So this weekend at the Star Theater in Upper Sandusky, we are putting on a play, Dearly Departed. You probably haven't seen it. Adam's sister saw it. I think I saw her come in earlier on Friday. It's a dark comedy. It's a dark comedy that follows a dysfunctional Southern family in the aftermath of their dear father Bud's sudden, shall we say, departure. Upon learning of his death, Bud's sister Marguerite calls her son Royce with some bad news, with this bad news of her uncle's death. And I gotta say, I'm not an actor. I'm gonna attempt some Southern drawl here. It's not going to go well, all right? So upon hearing of his uncle's death, Royce says, "Well, I'm real sorry to hear that, Mama." And I know, it's bad. And Marguerite, we'll call her a zealous, fire and brimstone kind of Christian. She responds, "Well, you know what I'm sorry about? Your Uncle Bud didn't belong to any church whatsoever. Always scorned and mocked the doings of good Christian people. And you know what that means, don't you?" And Royce, who has clearly heard what's about to come next many, many times, does not want to hear it again, and he tries to keep her from saying it. He says, "Don't say it, Mama." But she, of course, goes on to say it. She says, "He's roasted on the end of a pitchfork, even as we speak, crying out in eternal torment, flesh torn by demons." Can't imagine why her brother, Bud, didn't want to go to church. And also, don't let my acting scare you. The actors at the Star Theater are much better than I am. There's a reason I stay in the light booth. One of the 53 names on this, "And He Shall Be Called," poster is, where is it? The Door. It's right there. The Door. Now, that's the old King James Version talking. The version we hear today says, "The Gate." Jesus says to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." Apparently, Marguerite thinks that it was her job and the church's job to be the gate, because she is absolutely certain that her brother was roasted on the end of a pitchfork because he didn't belong to any church whatsoever. There's two problems with this. First, apparently in Marguerite's mind, salvation comes through the church and not Jesus. And I'm pretty sure Jesus says, "I am the gate." He doesn't say the church is the gate. He says, "I am the gate." And second, I wonder, is all of this, all of the fancy windows and the stained glass and the organ music and all of this gathering every Sunday, is that really what it's all about? Are we here simply to avoid eternal torment? Because I think if that's why we're here, we've kind of missed the point. Jesus says, "I came that my sheep might have eternal life and have it abundantly." That's not what he said. I even slipped into it there. He says, "I came that my sheep might have life and have it abundantly. I don't think that he just wants us to have abundant life in the hereafter after we depart from this place. And I know, if you were to watch that play, you'd be like, wow, Marguerite is a caricature of this Bible-thumping, holier-than-thou Christian. And she is. But that is, after all, what makes her funny. Her character is nevertheless rooted in an uncomfortable truth for us. I wonder how much apart from Marguerite are we really? Jesus has 52 other names on here, we think. He's the good shepherd, after all. Isn't that good enough for this guy? Why does he have to claim gate for himself, too? We can do the gate. We can be the gate. We can be fair and just, can't we? In the other church, someone was like, no. It's like, all right, I'm glad you can see that. We certainly don't have blind spots and biases that would be problematic if we were the gate. Let us decide who's roasting on the end of a pitchfork. That might be fun. Let us decide. Tammy? No. All right, I found two people now that I don't want. Let us decide who's in and who's condemned. And that's why I think we're a little too much like Marguerite, a little too close to her for comfort, because we would like to decide these things. In fact, we have decided these things. We have preconceived notions of, well, not them. Look, she's back there like, yeah, he's not. She's going to break my thumb extra hard during communion today. What could possibly go wrong if we were the ones to decide? This is what often goes wrong. We think we're the ones to decide. But here's the thing. Jesus makes clear today, we are not the gate. We are not the shepherd even. We are the sheep. Now, I have someone over at St. Paul that raises sheep. He raises sheep. And from what he tells me, sheep are really, really dumb. Sheep are dumb. And maybe they are. I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time around those kind of real, actual sheep. But I wonder, even if sheep are really, really dumb, what's so bad about being a dumb sheep anyway? Listen to what Jesus says about what it's like to be a sheep. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Well, that's good. And will come in and go out and find pasture. Well, that's good too. That sounds pretty good. We don't need to be any of these 53 names, do we? I don't see sheep on there. And really, we can't be any of these 53 names, because if we could be any of these things, I guess it would have our name on the bottom of this, wouldn't it? And last time I checked, that's not my name. Jesus offers us an invitation today. He invites us to simply be, to be dumb sheep. More specifically, to come in when we need protection. To go out and to find pasture when we need sustenance. To have abundant life. An abundant life not just when we depart from this earth, but in this life as well. He shall be called the gate and the shepherd. And all the rest of the things on the poster, which pretty much frees us to be one thing. We are the sheep of his flock. As Marguerite goes on and on and on about this fate, the fate of her roasting, demon-tormented brother, which she enjoys talking about way too much, her son, Royce, he stops her and he screams into the phone. He says, how's Aunt Raynell? You remember Aunt Raynell? You know, the widow? How's she doing? Royce refuses to allow his mom to be the gate. He won't speculate about his Uncle Bud's eternal soul. He corrects his mom. He says, "How's Aunt Raina?" In other words, he says, "One of the flock is walking through the darkest of valleys, the valley of death, and all you care about is who's in and who's out. What's wrong with you, Mama?" Royce, it seems to me, is the one who knows the shepherd's voice. As I said, our name is not on this poster. And if we want it to be, we're going to have to change one of these big, bold letters at the top from he to we. And it would say, "We shall be called." And below that, we're going to have to erase all these things. We'll just say, "His flock." We shall be called his flock. That's where we fit into this whole thing. He calls us by name. We hear his voice and we stay with the flock. So as Aunt Raynell walks through that darkest valley, we do not position ourselves at the gate because our name is not on that poster. And even as sheep, we do not head out somewhere for greener pastures. We stay. We stay because the shepherd is there. I mean, where else would the shepherd be but in the valley with the grieving widow? And since we're there, as one of the flock, perhaps then we ask, "How's Aunt Ray now?" Amen.
Thank you.
ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Let us pray. Trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world, let us pray for the needs of all creation.
Shepherding God, you seek out your people and call us by name. Draw all people to yourself and lead us in paths of righteousness. Embolden your church not to avoid the valleys of this world, but to enter them, walking alongside those who are hurting, afraid, and displaced. Lead us beside the still waters of your grace, that we may become a place of rest for others, and where we ourselves are weary, teach us to receive the same care, granting us humility to let others walk alongside us. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Great physician, walk with those who are grieving and anoint those who are ill or injured. We especially today lift to you Terry, Clint and Barb, Devin, Doug, Ed, those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer list, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Restore them, we pray, to health of body, mind, and spirit. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Righteous Judge, strengthen and uphold those who work for justice and advocate for human rights. In every place where conflict rages, shepherd your people. Gather those who are scattered, guard those in danger, and lead us all in paths of righteousness. Break cycles of violence and retaliation. Soften hardened hearts and lead nations beyond ceasefires and temporary agreements into the hard and holy work of lasting peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Eternal God, amid all the turmoil of this nation and of this world, your love is steadfast and your strength never fails us. In this time of danger and trouble, with continued threats to this nation and to those who govern it, be to us a sure guardian and rock of defense. Guide our leaders with your wisdom. Protect them and protect those who protect them. Comfort all in distress and grant us courage and hope to face a very uncertain future. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God of resurrection power, use us in these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Merciful God, accept the fruits of our labor, gathered to give you glory. You have set a table before us, a glimpse of that great day when we will hunger and thirst no more. Nourish us with the body and blood of Jesus, that goodness and mercy may follow us and bless the world you love. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The Good Shepherd gathers us to this table. Come, receive the risen Lord.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, through this meal you have made your home among us and are making all things new. Send us now to speak peace to anxious hearts, to love our enemies, and to bring your healing to the nations. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Why is everybody so quiet? Chitter and chatter and make noise. Anyway, some announcements today. Let's see. We continue to collect noisy offering for the Community Connections Expo, which is Saturday, May 16th. Please check your calendars for that. Note that on your calendars and check out that announcement to see where help is needed still. I will be out of the office Wednesday through Friday of this week. If you're married to me and this is the first time you're hearing of this, it's on the calendar. Anyway, I will be at the Region 6 First Call Pastor's Retreat. I am out of the office, as I said, but I am available for pastoral care emergencies. I haven't learned yet what I'm going to be learning, but last year's was good. I hope this year's is the same. So someone talked to my wife afterward to let her know. Anyway, all right. Just one other quick note. The office will be closed on Wednesday from about 9 to 11 and should reopen at around 11. So please, if you need to come in or stop by, plan around that. Teresa will be back this week, and we are thankful for that. And I know that she could continue to use your prayers. Are there any other announcements this morning?
Pastor?
Yes.
I guess I've been tasked.
Oh. Thank you. And we continue to be thankful for the fellowship that is made available through dartball. And the more you throw darts at a board, the less often you throw darts at me. So that's always a good thing. That reminded me of some. Oh, yeah. When Brian came up, I'm like, oh, yeah, catechism. We will have catechism until 1 o'clock today. Well, 1 o'clock. So that, and just a preview, I want you to take a look, and maybe you all can do this too. Take a look at that poster which I set outside that door over there, and look at all the different names we give Jesus, and take a look at that, and we're going to talk about where they come from Scripture. I want you all to pick out two that speak to you, and we're going to find them in Scripture and talk about them. So anyway, yes, do you have a...
Yes. Just so everybody's aware, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, stay away from
All righty. Any other announcements? Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us go forth in peace, for the Good Shepherd calls us by name.
We will.